It is a wonderful privilege to be here again this morning as we come to worship the sovereign God of all of heaven and earth, of all the universe. It is a wonderful privilege that we should never take for granted, but should realize that we are part of a great plan of God. That He knows all things, and He does all things well. And what a wonderful privilege it is that He has bought and paid for us to be spiritually alive, to have spiritual desire, and to be able to come together, aside from all the things that go on in this world and in our daily lives, and that we can sit here in His presence and in the presence of each other and worship Him in spirit and in truth. What a wonderful privilege that is. Turn with me this morning to begin with to Romans chapter 8. And here we'll start in verse 27. Romans 8, 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We read in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And I said a while ago, we were part of a great plan. And that's what this is talking about. We are predestinated for something. And that something is that we would be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And that's the transformation. That's the change. That's the progression that I want to talk about this morning, is how we are conformed to the image of the Son of God. In the Bible, we have so many examples. I'm going to look at some in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And we're going to see a transformation. We're going to see a conformity. How God's people are conformed to be like Christ. How we are changed into the image of Christ. Matthew chapter 5. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, commonly known, what we're going to talk about this morning, as the Beatitudes. Now, the Lord went up into a mountain, and when His disciples came unto Him, He opened His mouth and He taught them. Now, the disciples were not the only ones there. There was a multitude there also. As He began, in verse 3, the first thing He said, or the first beatitude as it's known as, is blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does that mean to be poor in spirit? What we're going to be looking at this morning is we're going to be looking at two sides of nature. Two kinds of nature. Now, when God saved you, He gave you a new nature inside. He wrought a change in you. A change that you could not make. But you were totally dependent on Him to make it in you. And what He did was, He gave you a new nature. Now, our natures have characteristics about them. Our carnal nature is kind of like, well, Pharaoh was a prime example. What he said, a statement he made was, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" And that nature has not changed from Pharaoh to me. It's the same. The natural man cannot fathom having to totally depend upon God for salvation. Our human nature is for us to take care of ourselves, for us to be in control, for us to try to know all things and be in control of our own destiny. That's just human nature. To be poor in spirit is the opposite of the independent and defiant attitude that refuses to bow to God. And that's our nature. That's how we are. Naturally, we will not bow to God. And it stems all the way from the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they obtained a new nature. But it was in the other direction. They fell because of sin. And so this nature that they took on, which was carnal, which was defiant against God, now it is passed down upon all of their descendants. So each of us are born with a nature. This nature is carnal. This nature will not allow us to bow to God and admit that we are nothing and God is everything spiritually. The reason is because this spiritual nature is a gift from God. It is not something that we are born with. We are born without it. We are born separated from God. And so we are in complete and total need of Him, unable to help ourselves. Now, when God changes us, He causes us to be poor in spirit. He causes us to realize what we are. When God saved me, the first thing He showed me was myself. And that was an awful sight, let me tell you. It was an awful sight. He gave me a realization that I was nothing. Spiritually, I was nothing. Nothing there. He showed me that I had nothing. I couldn't say, "Lord, I've read my Bible quite a bit. I'm not as bad as that guy over there." I didn't have that to offer to God. I had nothing, you see. He showed me that I am nothing spiritually. I have nothing to offer spiritually. And He showed me that I could do nothing spiritually. And this is the first evidence of a work of grace within the soul. This is the first evidence. This is what God does when He saves us. He shows us ourselves. And you know, we really can't see ourselves as we are in the carnal nature. We talk about He gives us eyes to see. And He does. And this is where it starts. When He changes our heart toward Him and gives us a spiritual nature, we are a new man, the Bible says. All things are new. Old things pass away. All things are new. This is the first evidence of a work of grace. Get that now. a work of free gift in your soul. We become poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says. We are blessed to him. And we are blessed, those who are poor in spirit. And I believe that's what is being taught right here. God has blessed us by giving us Jesus Christ. And by imputing our sins to him and his spirit to us. His spirit dwells within us if we've gone through this little change right here. This big change. Now Jesus Christ was God, is God, shall ever be God. But there was a place and time where he came to this earth and took upon himself a human form. Would you say God was rich? All things belong to him. All things belong to Jesus Christ. But he came to this earth. Don't you think he was poor when he left all that and came to this earth and took on the form of a man? He took on poverty. He became poor. He is our example here. He became poor for us. Where was he born? In a manger? Born in a horse stall? He was a carpenter. He worked at the carpenter's bench. He was not among the wealthy, the prominent of that day. No, he took on poverty. And he did it for us. He did it for us. So he is our example. Now the next one, verse 4 says, well, I didn't finish this one, did I? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I skipped a sentence. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a blessing it is that God has bought and paid for us. That ours is the kingdom of heaven. He shows us ourselves when he changes our hearts. But then he shows us himself too. He shows us that we must place all of our cares upon him. For he loves us. And he has plans for us. We are part of this great plan that I talked about a while ago. He has plans for us. He has gone to prepare a place for us. What a great God. It is evident when we are brought to the dust before God. When he shows us ourselves and we realize, Lord, I'm nothing. I can't do anything to attract you to me. I must place all my cares upon me. Once again, this is evidence of God working in our hearts. Because we can't see that naturally. There has to be a change for us to see ourselves as nothing before an almighty God. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What kind of mourning is this? When we mourn in this life, it's a terrible thing. We all hate that. It's a terrible feeling. a hard thing to get away from as we mourn. But let me tell you this morning that this is spiritual mourning. This is a mourning that we do after we're enlightened. After we are spiritually awakened or alive. Why do we mourn? Well, I just described the terrible spiritual state that we're in. And we have come to realize this state that we're in. What a terrible condition we're in, that we are a sinner. That we have no hope of ourselves. And it's over this condition that we mourn. We mourn over our sins. We mourn over our unbelief. We mourn over the state of our lives, knowing how far we fall short of what we should be in Christ. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, there's a reason why we are poor in spirit. There is a reason why we mourn. And it is that God may comfort us. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning over our rebellion against God. Or one thing that we keep when we are born again and when we have this new nature applied to us, and that is the old nature. We still have this old nature within us. This ball and chain of sin that we must drag behind us. But praise God, one day that old nature is going to lay down. And this new nature is all we will need when we shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Romans 7:24, he says, "O wretched man that I am." Don't we feel that way? Don't we feel that way? Yes, we do. "O wretched man that I am." But we are comforted, you see, when God applies the gospel of the grace of God to us. We're comforted, aren't we? We realize that we are totally dependent on Him. And we are comforted, knowing that He is the sovereign God of the universe. And that He loves us. And we are comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we are given a sense of, when we are convicted of this need of a Savior, we realize that it is the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ, free and full forgiveness. That is the comfort that we are given. It is the peace of God that passeth all understanding, the Bible tells us. Oh, what a comfort when we rely on Him. When we realize that it is all Him. If we have anything good in us, it's because it came from Him. You see where the Son of God receives all the glory and salvation? That's important. All of this plan to allow sin, to send Jesus Christ, the Son of the only living God, to earth, to suffer, to bleed, to die and pay for the sins of his people, to raise him up, that he overcome death, hell, and the grave. All of this, our lives, all of this points to the glory of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all for, that he receive all the glory, see. It is the peace of God. Jesus Christ mourned. Isaiah 53 says he was a man of sorrows and that he was acquainted with grief. In the third chapter of Mark, we find that he grieved for the hardness of the hearts of the Pharisees. That's how our hearts are until we're changed. He also mourned by the graveside of Lazarus. Remember that? He mourned. He again is our example. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A lot of different ideas about what is meant by meek here. But, once again, it is a characteristic of the new nature. That's what it is. We are no longer haughty and high-minded and filled with pride over ourselves. It has changed us, you see. Meek. To me, that means humility. It's a characteristic of the new nature. Adam and Eve tried to hide their nakedness, didn't they? They tried to cover their shame. We inherited that characteristic from them. We try to do the same thing. But our works, as the fig leaves, doesn't hide anything, does it? Because it is of the natural man, it is part of that I was talking about earlier when I said I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to offer to God of myself, of the natural man. The carnal mind simply cannot fathom God's way of salvation. And one of the reasons is it's too humbling for man. It's just too humbling. Our nature will not allow us to bow in the dust before God. That's why we must have this new nature. The one who is poor in spirit, who mourns over his wretched state, and we do when we see it, he falls in the dust before God. Not the carnal man, not the natural man, but this new spiritual man. He realizes that there was nothing that he could do to cover his shame. And he must fall before God. He is willing to become a beggar now. and bow in the dust before God. Jesus Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners. He sought not the rich and the renowned of the world. Over and over, when He healed people, He wrought all these miracles on earth when He was here. Over and over, He told them, go and tell no man. So He didn't go to the king and said, hey, I'm Son of God, you better tell everybody. He didn't do that. He was humble when He was here. He had that characteristic. He had that spiritual nature. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, in the previous three Beatitudes, if you will, we've been looking at ourselves. We've been seeing ourselves as sinful, as hopeless, as destitute. But now our eyes are turned toward Jesus Christ, for He is our righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here's another evidence of a work of grace being wrought in a heart. We didn't hunger and thirst after righteousness before. Before we were changed. But afterward, we do. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. There is a longing now. Now that I've been changed, now that I'm spiritually alive, I have a longing after a righteousness that I know I don't have. I know that I don't possess this righteousness within myself. Now I do. Now I know it. I've been changed. And I long for this righteousness. And I find it in Jesus Christ. So now, I hunger and thirst after Him, for He is my righteousness. I have realized that there's nothing good in me. I have begun to mourn spiritually over my condition and my state without Him. But now I am hungering and thirsting after Him. In Romans chapter 3, tells us that the sinner has no righteousness. And it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. The only righteous one is Jesus Christ. Now God creates this hunger and thirst in us. He creates it. Why does He do that? So that He might fill it. That's why. He causes us to hunger and thirst after Him so that He might fill us with Himself. Praise God. When we are made to feel our need for Christ, it is that we may be drawn to Him drawn to Him, led to embrace Him. Our only righteousness before a holy God is the Son of God. Jesus told His disciples, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Praise God this morning that our salvation is in His hands. And we have a perfect picture here. I know I haven't done very well at bringing it out, but it's here, and you study it, and you read it and pray over it, and see if you don't see yourself in this picture painted here in the Beatitudes. See if you don't see yourself changed by an outside force, that being the Spirit of God, seeking, hunger and thirst after Him. For the promise is, you shall be filled.